The Mike Missinelli Show.
Good afternoon, everybody. All right, tell you one thing, ground rule to top of the hour. Let's pretend this is Monday. We went together with my crew yesterday, so we're going to treat this like it's a Monday, day after the game. I was on with Anthony today. We were preempted, the show was, by a Sixers game. So there's still a lot of stuff to unpack, and it's taking another level here as the quarterback subject comes into play again because of what happened on Sunday. And it's an intriguing conversation. It's a conversation that doesn't have a period to it. It doesn't have an end. It'll be ongoing until we figure out what they're going to do about it next year. And we're not going to choose. It's going to be the Philadelphia Eagles who choose. So it's still a viable conversation. So let's just start with the response that the Eagles had. And it's not like, these lower seeds are doing anything in the playoffs. They all seem to stink. It's like the seventh team that's been allowed in has been a terrible team. I get it. So I'm not going to punish the Eagles for what they aren't. They got into the playoffs. I thought they got into the playoffs with a lot of help with bad quarterbacks and bad teams that they're playing. That doesn't really tell the story. What tells the story is where they are now as a team. What are they as a team? And to answer that, you've got to look at what they presented on the field on Sunday. And what they presented was the following. The quarterback was way overmatched in the game. The head coach, frankly, was overmatched because it was clear to see how Tampa Bay was going to play them on defense against the Eagles' offense, and he had nothing for it. He decided it was a good idea to kick off to Tom Brady, and I don't know in what football world that makes sense, but he did that. And then you have the defensive coordinator, who we talked about all week, having to do something different and thinking that he would. And that's our fault because obviously he wasn't going to change his stripes. He wasn't going to get overly innovative. He's a guy who coaches not to lose instead of to win. And against Tom Brady, that's foolish. All right. And you saw what Todd Bowles was doing to the Eagles. He was putting A in the box and he was daring the Eagles to do something about it. They couldn't. He was daring the quarterback to go to his left. He couldn't. And so there was no innovation to their game plan. So everybody's got to take the heat. Now, you can sit here and say you weren't the better team. I thought they weren't the better team either. I didn't think they were going to get smoked 31-0 going into the fourth quarter. I didn't think they'd be down 17-0 and accumulate 12 total yards at that point in the game. I didn't expect any of that. I expected them to be competitive. They were not. So now you look at them, you see, well, what are they? If they weren't competitive in that game, they got a lot of work to do. And it first starts with the quarterback. Now, I know there are a lot of people that rub up against this subject and try to turn it into something that it's not. Either a quarterback, you believe in a quarterback's ability, or you don't. And if you don't believe in his ability, then you should want the team to improve that situation. You shouldn't say, I like Jalen and you have to give him a fair shot next year. No, you don't. You don't have to give him a fair shot next year. What I said when they got in the playoffs is, to me, he has earned the start for next year unless they can improve the position. Now, how would they improve the position? They can make a trade for an established quarterback. They've been gaga about Russell Wilson. I don't know if they're going to be able to do that. They could get somebody in the draft that they believe has better potential than Jalen Hurts, or they could do nothing. And they could say, you know what? Next year, we're going to ride with him, and then we'll figure it out, and maybe we can parlay our draft picks into a first-round pick for next year when the quarterback draft looks like it's going to be a little deeper. I don't know what they're going to do, but they first have to determine this, whether their quarterback is good enough. And they're going to go through a whole bunch of factors. There are people out there that think he is. I don't think he proved that. I think by default, he should be the starter next year because I don't think they're going to be able to improve that position with what I just said. But there's no way you can convince me that he overwhelmingly showed you that he's a starting quarterback for a franchise that's going to win. And if that's picking on Jalen Hurts, like, I don't... I don't try to curry favor with anybody. Like, I call it the way I see it, whether I like a guy or not. The only thing that matters to me is whether he's good enough. And if he's not good enough, I'm not going to take the heat by being this so-called Jalen Hurts hater. I'm not a hater of anybody. Either you're good enough to get my approval or you're not. So that's the way it works with me. So let's go I know you guys are itching to comment on what you saw on Sunday, and you were muzzled a little bit yesterday.
Quite a bit. Quite a bit muzzled. And it's just, this is what bothers me about the situation is now it's to the point where Eagles fans are not Eagles fans. They've now taken sides with players, similar to what happened with this guy.
How's everyone doing?
But the difference is that guy actually won a Super Bowl. You should want what's best for the Eagles, and right now it's in question, and it deserves to be a question. Everyone thought, as you mentioned, the game would be competitive. And this is why it was good to make the playoffs. It's good to make the playoffs because it was another data point. It was more data for us to use. We got to see more from different players and different coaches to decide if we like them or we don't like them. And the bottom line is, you're a fool. I'll say it out loud again. You're a fool if you saw that game and you come away thinking, oh, yeah, it's fine. All they have to do at 31-0 is just they'll get a little more mature, a defensive player. No. There are still major issues, and you got to question the quarterback for this reason. There were plays to be made. Troy Aikman was furious, it sounded like, because I think he thought it was going to be a competitive game. And when that game got out of hand, he got bored quick. And he was willing to point out in real time, every time there was someone open and the quarterback didn't go to that guy. And we saw the interception where he was a year late with the pass and it was underthrown that ends up getting picked off. And a safety from a mile away is able to come run it down because it's not a good throw. You have to be able to question him just like everybody else, or you're not an Eagles fan anymore. You just have Hurts pom-poms, and you don't actually care at all about the future of the Eagles. You're rooting for the close.
Hey, listen, Jen, go ahead. I want to get to your. You know, he said something like the pom-poms thing is a really interesting point on why people wave the pom-poms. But go ahead. Give me your comments on what you saw on Sunday.
Well, you know, it was tough. I do believe that everything needs to be questioned. It was a failure upon multiple levels, including the quarterback who, you know, I have backed since the first half of the season.
Yes.
So I don't know how to feel. I tried to like push my emotions back down this morning and try to think of it logically and just see where we have to go from here. And I don't know. The draft picks right now scare me for Howie Roseman. Mm-hmm. Can they go get a quarterback that's going to be better than subpar in this draft with those picks? I don't know. There's a lot up in the air that I still am trying to process.
And we're powerless about it.
Absolutely.
We're observers. They have to decide what they're going to do about it. And I got news for you. I can't imagine that a football administration right now, after seeing that and evaluating his whole year, is that comfortable with committing to Hurts. They may be okay with going forward for a year because they can't do anything else. But I don't think they're in a comfortable spot. And let me just be clear. I am not picking on Jalen Hurts because he's a black quarterback. I like black quarterbacks. I really do. I like quarterbacks mostly, however, that can throw a football, right? And if I'm looking, and there was a story today that illustrated that, frankly, his body of work this year was just average. It was no more than average. You can look at the record. You can look at the numbers. It was average. Now, if you look at the numbers that were in today's story in the Inquirer, the game plan was to push him left. Why? Because he can't throw that well going to his left. It's like in basketball, pushing a point guard to his left because he's better going to his right. It's a defensive strategy that Todd Bowles put forth. He was 2-for-13 for 45 yards when throwing to his left beyond 10 yards. Going to his left, throwing down the field, 2-for-13 beyond 10 yards. That's telling. You saw the play where he had to go to his left. He didn't have enough arm strength or enough vision to see that a guy was coming over, and he didn't have enough arm strength to get it there before that guy came over. Now, during the regular season, he was 22 of 62 for 498 yards, 2 touchdowns, 3 interceptions when going to his left, as opposed to going to his right, where his numbers were much better. Now, if you have a quarterback that struggles on certain parts of where he throws the ball from, you don't have a quarterback. It's really as simple as that. And you have to count on him improving that fundamental thing for him to be a viable quarterback. And they may do that. But I will leave you with this here as we go into a break. What was so special about his year that he deserves next year's starting job if they think they can do better? Now, if they think they can do better and they make a move and you don't think it's better, you can voice that opinion. They're the ones evaluating. If they feel they can do better by trading for Russell Wilson, they're gonna do better. Right? If they feel they're gonna do better by drafting a guy that they think has a better upside than Hurts, for some of the reasons we just mentioned, they're gonna do that. And it's not about disliking a certain player. It's about, does he have the ability to make you a good team? It's really a simple evaluation when it comes to Jalen Hurts.
Yes, and none of the people are saying that. They're just doing just the pom-pom. They're not saying, I think he'll get better. They're saying, what do you mean? It's this, that, this, that, this, that, this, that. Anything but him. He's not at all responsible. Oh, my goodness. How dare you question my little baby Jesus quarterback? That's what they're saying. Any of them are even saying he has to get better in this air. Going to the left.
When we question any quarterback who had those kind of numbers when going to his left?
Of course we would. And we would question any quarterback that was down 31-0 in a playoff game. It's not just him, but 31-0. We can at least admit, he took 3 points off the board with the interception. Can we at least do that? No. Jalen Hurts is perfect. Howie's bad.
He's not
perfect. Just say he's got to get better.
He's not perfect. Now, could he be the starter next year? Yes. And if he is, I'm not going to blanch at it. All thing I'm saying to you is, if they can do better, and I guarantee you they're not content right now with what they have, and they may have to by default send him out again next year. But if they can do better, they're going to do better, whatever that evaluation is. 610-632-0975 is how you climb into the show. It's the Mike Missinelli Show. We're back after this.
The Mike Missinelli Show.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.
The Fanatic.
All right, folks. It is 2 o'clock hour of the Mike Missinelli Show. It's brought to us by Ferguson, HVAC Lion, Conklin. Attention HVAC contractors for equipment, parts, and supplies. For every heating and cooling job, visit one of Ferguson's current locations, Ben Salem, King Prussia, Pensauken, or Westchester. All right, let's get the Twitter poll started. Brought to us by PoweredByMoyer.com. Make sure your gear is ready for whatever winter brings. PoweredByMoyer.com carries thousands of OEM and aftermarket parts and accessories for outdoor power equipment from brands like Husqvarna, Honda, MTD, and much more. Order online at PoweredByMoyer.com. If you're in Delco, it would be OEM.
Yes.
Jennifer Scorno, today's Twitter poll. What's up, Jen?
All right. Now that the Eagles season is over, what should their first priority be? You get four answers, or you get to choose from one of four. Okay, upgrade defensive players, upgrade the quarterback, move on from Gannon, or upgrade wide receivers. Right now, wide receivers getting 9% of the vote, moving on from Gannon, 10%, upgrade quarterback, 14%, and defensive players, 67%.
Defensive players.
They want to upgrade.
They need defensive linemen. They need linebackers. Yeah, they need secondary. So couldn't pick just a position on the defensive side.
Yeah.
They're too bad there.
Yeah. Well, that's very observant of Eagle fans because that's right. But it's interesting. You know, I don't know if this is propaganda or not. That why on earth would Jonathan Gannon get interviews?
No, it's not propaganda. I just got confirmed he has 3 interviews over the next 3 days.
You know, here's what it is. I said this yesterday, too. It's the Caucasian cookie cutter. If you look like, and in fact, you can buy that Caucasian cookie cutter. I believe Bed Bath & Beyond has it. you take a 20% off certificate in there, you can grab a Caucasian cookie cutter. But you have to look like Matt LaFleur's, Cliff Kingsbury's, Brandon Staley's, Zach Taylor's, Kyle Shanahan's. If you look like those guys, fresh scrubbed, younger Caucasian guy, you get a job.
Yeah, and Albert Breer has it, a former friend of the show. He's interviewing with the Texans today. That will be via video conference. He has the Broncos tomorrow. They're coming here to meet with him. And Minnesota, where he used to be, he will interview there on Thursday. So literally three straight days of interviews. He did a horrid job.
Really stunning that he would get interviews at this particular point. But we're kind of off the subject. So let's get back on the subject. And you heard what we had to say about this game. And people are going to say, well, you can't put it all in one game. That's the stock answer. Right. You know, you can't put it all in one game. Yes, you can. You can look at it and see how far they are away. You saw that game. You saw how they were coached. You saw the lack of personnel. And you saw a quarterback who couldn't do anything about it. So I don't know what's there to be optimistic about. They got the playoffs, yeah. But I warned you, they got the playoffs by not beating a winning team. They got the playoffs by playing the crappiest quarterbacks I've ever seen come down the pike. And they got in. And we got it. Well, that's a good. Yeah. Well, maybe it is. Maybe it isn't. Because you're talking about next year, and I see Hurts being the quarterback next year, and burning off another year until they can do something better. Let's go to the phones. Let's go to Matt in Deptford. Matt, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic. Matt.
Yo, Mike. What's good?
What's going on, Matt?
You know, I had no intentions of beating the Bucks, but it's the way they lost to them, man. I mean, they got thoroughly outplayed, and it was worse than the first game they played against them this year, mm-hmm. when they were at full health. You know what I mean, Mike?
Yes.
It was worse. And all we heard last week, oh, the Bucks are beat up. Brady doesn't look like he used to look. And you still got embarrassed. I mean, they were out there top two of their three receivers, their best two running backs. And, I mean, it was like they were playing a JV team out there, Mike.
Well, this is all part of coaching too, right? Now I know Nick Sirianni won a lot of points with people this year, right?
But not with me.
Well, okay, well, so he won a points with a lot of people. I still have to observe. I've got strategize. If do you not talk to your defensive coordinator during the week and go, hey, Jonathan, listen. The first time we played this kind of defense, he really chopped us up. We can't afford to. We got to mix something up. We got to do something drastic. I don't care if we lose the game, but we got to try to get in his head and influence it, because we're not going to beat him if we play that same kind of defense. Like, is there a disconnect? Like, he's supposed to be the head coach that takes care of these things. Also, when you win the toss, you want to give the ball to Brady first possession? Like, that's just basic strategy.
True, Mike. And here's my thing. This is that game left me with so many questions, like our coaching staff and our QB. Can our coaching staff and QB beat a good team? We didn't all year. But I did an exercise with myself yesterday, because I know I saw a lot of weird things in the NFL this year. But like all these bad teams that at least beat one good winning team, we couldn't even luck into beating a good team, Mike.
And that's
my thing about Sirianni is like, okay, we know you can beat the dregs of the NFL, but when you come up against a competent QB and a competent team, can you beat them? And I haven't seen that.
No, no, but this all the like, what are you thinking about? But Todd Bowles is a crafty defense coordinator. He's got a lot of experience, real good. He said, your quarterback can't go left, and we're going to put eight in the box. Now let's see what you can do. Now, if you're a head coach, don't you have to anticipate that kind of thing and go, okay, if they do this, we can do this at least. It was like, what? They're using an eight-man front, and they're pushing them left. Well, wait a minute. Let me see. Let me go through my papers here. Let's see. What, you know, you got to think on your feet.
I kind of disagree. I think Sirianni got guys wide open, and Hurts missed them, and not just to the left. Even against that defense, Quez was open right outside the right hash. Westbrook could talk about it at four. He has the video of it. Wide open, right side of the field. Hurts didn't see him, never even went with him ball. That I can't blame Sirianni. I think Sirianni had a bunch of plays available, open, and the quarterback failed to execute.
Well,
I blame Hurts.
Listen,
I think it's like 90-10.
Yeah, 90% I'm agreeing with you on that. There was here's the thing that you got to look at. But when people say, well, you're picking on Hurts, you go, no. We're looking at how he looks at certain things, right? Now, there were many times where they singled up Devontae Smith. He's your best player, okay? Now, if you're a quarterback, how many times have you seen a quarterback and they get single coverage on a guy and their eyes go like this, right? And they go, okay, well, you give him a little look or whatever you need to do. And he, on that one particular play that Aikman was really analyzing, he didn't even look that way. He, like, the play was called the little mini screen to the right, and he did that. Well, okay, well, that's part of the evaluation of what he isn't.
Yeah, and I don't think Sirianni, by the way, did a good job. I'm saying I think with his play calling and his play design, I think he did get guys other than just Goddard, who was the only one getting the ball, don't get me started, when the game mattered. He was the only one who got the ball when the game mattered. I do think he schemed up and got guys open. Not a little bit open, like butt-naked, as open as possible, and the quarterback just didn't go there. And that's why I'm concerned with how Philadelphia fans have latched on to Hurts with so much love, which is great, but not at all recognizing that performance is troubling because none of them want to address whether or not he'll actually get better. They just want to talk about how mean it is. How dare anybody say they should look at any other quarterback. He's our perfect little angel, and we cannot. And that's what's happening all over social media. He's our perfect little angel. And oh my goodness, if we say anything about our perfect little angel, like, no, he's a grown man. He's a quarterback who was down 31-0 in a playoff game. It's okay to say, what does he have to do better? And if he can't get better, he can't be here.
Well, that's what I'm saying. They've got to say, we probably can do better. So if we can, we're going to give it a shot to do better. If not, then he's going to be the quarterback, in which case, who cares? Because we still get paid. And so we'll just burn off another year until we can get that position right, is what that organization's about.
If you were Howie, would you make the phone call to Seattle? You don't know what Seattle's going to say.
Yeah, of course.
But would you make the phone call?
Listen, he's been salivating over the guy for years. So, yes, obviously I would do that.
I'm just saying.
I mean, if you can't do it, you can't do it.
Right.
But so what's going to happen then? If the word gets out, it's going to be like another Ben Simmons thing. Oh, you tried to trade me for Russ. Oh, you tried to trade me for Harden. Like, what's going to happen?
I don't think. No. Hurts, right. Hurts has a better mental makeup. And Hurts knows he was down 31-0 in that game. And I don't know what Seattle would say. And if the price isn't right, I wouldn't do it either. I'm not saying you got to get rid of Hurts at any and all cost. Mm-hmm. What I'm saying is his performance, him, not the city being mean, not anybody else, him, his performance, him playing poorly, is enough for me to make a phone call. And if Seattle says a one now and a future one, then you know what I'm doing? I'm making that trade. If it's three ones, as Daniel Jeremiah straight up speculated, by the way, he made that up. He doesn't have intel. Mm-hmm. Then I'm not doing it. But if they called me and said a one this year and a one next year, you know what I'm doing? I'm making that deal. I am. And if they
two
ones, I'm making that deal. Three ones, I am not.
Okay, so you're going to give up your best one?
Yeah,
one of the three.
They're, what are they?
The like best one?
They're all
15,
right there.
16, 19.
Yeah, it's all the same to me. You can have whatever two you want.
All right.
You take the first two. But if it goes beyond that, then the answer's no. And I'll come back with Hurts happily. I'll come back because I don't think he stinks, but I do think his performance, not anybody being mean to the angel, his performance opened the door for this. He didn't play well.
No, not at all.
The Mike Missinelli Show.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
97.5 The Fanatic.
Let's get insights from the man who's covered this team all year long. He'll be able to explain what they are at this particular juncture. He covers them for NBC Sports Philly. He's Dave Zangaro. He's on the Comcast Business Hotline. Hello, Dave.
Hey, Mike. How are you?
All right, Dave. We talked last week, and I didn't think that they were going to cover. I thought Tampa Bay was going to win the game. I did not expect that. I don't even know people that covered the team would expect something like that. So unpack that all for us from your standpoint.
Yeah, it's obviously a disappointing finish. And I don't think anyone thought, even if you thought they had a chance to win the game, no one thought this was a legitimate Super Bowl contender. But to just go down to Tampa and get outclassed the way they were, it's disappointing. You know, it was a chance for them to show that they were at least in that realm of competition, and they weren't. I mean, it was they just got beaten soundly by a team that they. I mean, the Bucs could have scored however many they wanted. You know, it was bad, and the offense was bad, the defense was bad. It was a measuring stick game, and they came up well short.
All right. So, how and why did they get so outclassed?
Well, they're not good enough. They're not. They don't have the talent right now. It's a tough thing to deal with because you look at it, and I even wonder if this is my view on it. Obviously, it was always better for them to make the playoffs, get these guys some experience. But I even wonder if the playoff experience is as valuable as you thought it was when you go down there and just get your butts kicked like that. It really does open up season of questions, particularly about the quarterback. And I think you went into that game, a lot of people were thinking it's house money. He can't do anything to really hurt himself because he got them there, but it leaves a real bad taste in your mouth because the deficiencies we saw from him in that game are the same deficiencies we've seen from him when he struggled this year, and there's really valid concern about him. And it's not that he didn't improve. I thought he did improve this year from the version we saw of Jalen Hurts his rookie year. I thought there was growth, but was there enough? And is there a reason to believe there's going to be enough in his career? And I think all that's legitimately in question.
All right. You're right. He did improve a little bit, I guess. But to me, there was nothing that special about his improvement. So, you know, if I'm management of the Eagles, I go, if I can do better, I will. What do you think they're thinking?
Yeah, and that's the key part about this, Mike. We know how this franchise feels about that position. I mean, they value it as much, if not more, than just about any other team in the league, and we've seen that at every turn from them. I mean, it's part of the reason they drafted Jalen Hurts. They wanted insurance at the time. So, I think they have to leave their options open. The tricky thing here is there's so many different factors that go into this because the other avenues are, okay, do you try to trade for one? We know the names that are going to come up in that conversation. Do you try to draft one? And I think we know some of the names that would come up there. And I think a lot of it really depends on where they think they are as a franchise. I mean, are they a quarterback away right now? I'd argue they're not. I mean, I think they have some other glaring weaknesses, but if they have a chance to go out and get a guy they feel is an elite quarterback, I think they at least owe it to themselves to make a phone call, right?
Okay, so the elite quarterbacks we're talking about, Russell Wilson, Deshaun Watson, we know they like both of them. Would there be anybody else in their scope?
And this is just me kind of looking around and wondering. I don't know if I wouldn't put him in the same class, but a guy like Derek Carr would certainly be a big upgrade. I wouldn't touch, you know, Kirk Cousins, but a guy like Derek Carr is interesting to me. They're going to have a new GM, new head coach out there. He played very well. He's a veteran. He wouldn't demand the type of haul that it would take to get the other guys, but he's not as good as the other guys either. So the Russell Wilson one, we know that they've been infatuated with Russell Wilson since he got into the league. So I think that's going to be on the table if he becomes available. And we all know the Deshaun Watson situation. It's a lot more than football there. It's trying to navigate a messy situation, and I don't know where they are on that. So those are the quarterbacks, I think, if you look around the league, that might be available that would interest me and might interest them. But you have to ask yourself, too, what are you giving up to get these guys? And is it worth it? And it's a tough thing for them to figure out because all season, Mike, the big question was, is Jalen Hurts going to prove himself to be the guy? And I don't think he's done that. I think the option is to see if he can improve enough with another year under his belt, but I don't know if they're going to be patient enough to do that.
Yeah. All right, let's look at they need a lot of help on defense. And so let's start with the kingpin and what you think they might do with Fletcher Cox.
Yeah, the contract situation makes it kind of tough. And the good news is here that he did play better down the stretch. He wasn't Fletcher of old, and he certainly wasn't worth the money he's getting paid. But we saw improvement, and we saw him being able to coexist with defensive coordinator Jonathan Gannon. Now, obviously, we'll find out if Gannon's here next year. But there's reason to believe that those two can coexist, and you can get something out of Cox, maybe not to the level we're accustomed to or to the level of his contract, but they might just have to deal with that for another year because of what they've done and the way they've restructured that deal over the years. So that's a big piece. You're right. I mean, that's something they have to figure out. The other big piece is they need an edge rusher, Mike.
Yeah, I was going to ask you, but Barnett's got to be at this point gone, right?
Yeah, I think so. Look, I generally think not as bad as people think. I think he's an average, maybe slightly below average starting defensive end in the league. But, I mean, he's obviously been a huge disappointment here as the 14th overall pick. And he's a frustrating player to watch because as tough as he is and as much as the coaches love him, the boneheaded mistakes and the cheap shots, they pile up. And you see the effects of that in a game where against the Bucks, I thought the penalty called against him was really weak, but he's earned that reputation. He got that call because of the way he's played in his career. So, I'd have to imagine he's gone, and they already paid Josh Sweat, so you wouldn't break the bank for Derek Barnett. It really comes down to it's time to draft one and try to land a good player in the first round.
All right, I assume they think they're okay linebackers with T.J. Edwards and Davion Taylor, and the other guy goes to special team ace as he was before, Singleton. But now we're talking about two safeties and maybe a corner. What do you think about that?
Yeah, it's a lot. And it's time to get younger in that secondary. You're right. Steven Nelson, Rodney McLeod, and Anthony Harris are all going to be free agents. McLeod and Harris are over 30. Steve Nelson turns 29 soon. So they need an influx of young talent on defense. And this isn't anything new. I mean, they haven't drafted a Pro Bowl defensive player since Fletcher Cox in 2012. So it's like you look around, and that's what makes this whole quarterback discussion so tough, is because, yeah, you can trade a couple first-round picks and get a quarterback, but this is such a unique opportunity to replenish your football team with really good defensive players, guys that you haven't had. You just haven't had good defensive players, good young defensive players in a really long time. Their best players on defense are Darius Slay and, you know, maybe Fletcher, Javon Hargrave, who's now 28. Like, they need young talent on defense. And the best way to do that is with these first-round picks. It makes it really tricky when you're trying to weigh it out. Do you do that, or do you try to trade for a quarterback?
All right, I'm going to put you on the spot. I know it's unfair, but I'm going to just call on your instincts. With your instincts, do you think they change the quarterback situation next year?
I think the most likely outcome is Jalen Hurts as the quarterback in 2022.
Okay.
But that doesn't mean he's the franchise guy and he's going to be here for the next 10 years.
Okay, but next year you see him as the guy.
Yeah, I think that's still the most likely outcome just because it would take so much to trade for one or to move up in the draft. Now, we'll see. During this pre-draft process, maybe they really do their homework and fall in love with one of these guys. But it's harder now to get in position to draft one of the top ones than it was a couple months ago when we were talking and we thought they'd have considerably higher picks in this draft. They're all in the teams now. So they could package them. They could move up. But then again, you have to be really sold if you're going to draft one and give up assets to do it.
Yeah. All right, Dave, you're going to be busy, I think, following this in the offseason.
Oh, there's never an offseason, Mike. You know that.
Thanks so much for coming on with us. We appreciate it.
The Mike Missinelli Show.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.
The Fanatic.
We talked to him as a prelude to this game, and our next guest, I'm sure, did not think they would get housed like they did, although he did take Tampa Bay to cover like I did. But he's been analyzing what happened on Sunday very well in his Twitter feed with videos, and we bring in the great number 36, Brian Westbrook. Hello, Brian.
Good afternoon, Mikey. Miss, how you doing, my friend?
Doing okay. Now, you've really gotten deep into this, and you put a lot of videos out that showed that Hurts did have some throws that he didn't take advantage of. And, of course, this quarterback convo has been rewarned because of that bad performance. So tell me what you thought about it.
Yeah, you know. Listen, Jalen just wasn't very good on Sunday. And I'm going back and looking over the game again. And I'm even situations, you're down 17 points, you come in after the half, you get the ball first, and he just is missing wide open guys. I mean, that's a situation where he's seeing the open guy, he's just missing. And I think it's his footwork. He's not, that back foot of his doesn't look great in some of his drops and things like that. And then there's other situations, especially in the first half, where he's not seeing the entire field. He's not seeing where the ball should go. Whether it's on the hash, whether it's in the seam, all those different types of things in the middle of the field, he's not seeing it. And then by the time that he sees it, he tries to make a throw, and it's way too late. And so he just didn't have a very good game on Sunday. And if you want to win in this league, you have to have much better quarterback play. And unfortunately, he didn't give that to us on Sunday.
All right, we'll get deep into that because they're going to have to make a decision. It was interesting. Todd Bowles, they were meat for Todd Bowles. He knew exactly what to do. Eight men in the box and push him left. Now, but pushing him left, he was 2 for 13 when throwing from his left side beyond 10 yards for 45 yards, 2 for 13. For the regular season, 22 of 62 from that slot, 498 yards, 2 TDs and 3 interceptions. Obviously, this is a major flaw that a quarterback can cover up if you've gone to your left with some strong arming across your body or wherever you have to throw it. He doesn't seem to be able to do that. If he can't do that, then what is he?
Well, yeah, but first of all, you're right. I think he has to be much better throwing to the left, and this is a different mechanic. And, you know, you're going across your body, you're getting it all the way there, opposed to going to your right where it's a little bit more fluid and easier. You know, I don't know that you can fix that. I don't know that that's something that you're going to fix in the off season. I think you certainly can fix some of his footwork, which I think is a big problem, big time problem, because, you know, Jalen Hurts is a strong lower body type of kid. Donovan was the same thing. Now, Don had a big, strong upper body as well, and he had a lot of zip on his balls. But Jalen.
We lose Brian.
The ball in. There he is. And when you look at his form, when you look at what he does with it, it doesn't drive off that back foot. And that's where you get your power from. Mm-hmm. And because of that, some of those throws, especially to the left, they kind of flutter. Some of them are a little bit high. And he just didn't look very good, didn't look very accurate or sharp in this football game. And, you know, and when you play a team, just like you mentioned, that Todd Bowles is going to challenge you. They're going to put 8-9 guys in the box and try to stop the run. Now you have to be able to do something different. And unfortunately, we didn't take advantage of any of those opportunities.
You said something that's it stunned me. You don't know if we're going to be able to fix that, which is a very interesting thing. If you can't fix it, then they obviously got to figure out something they can do better at that position. Or is that taking it too far? Like, if you can't fix that, then how are you supposed to take advantage of his talents? We're losing Brian on that, our connection. So, unfortunately, we'll try to get him back here. Did I misunderstand what he said? You know, I don't think you're going to be able to fix that.
He thinks some of the things, I'm about to call him, he said mm-hmm. some of the things he does not necessarily think they can fix.
Well, that's not good because that's an obvious flaw that teams would just they would play right into their hands if you can't fix that part of it. So I want to talk more about Brian on that and what they need to do if they can live with something like that. It would be very interesting. If you can't live with it, then you got to do better and you got to change it up. So, all right. Well, that was eye popping.
That statement. Yep.
All right. So, all right. We're going to get Brian on the phone here. All right. We got Brian back. Brian, you with us?
I am with you. Somebody didn't want me saying the things that I was saying about Jalen Hurts.
Yeah, well, I was just bringing it up that you said that you don't know if you're going to be able to fix that. If you can't fix that, then that spells doom, doesn't it?
Well, it certainly doesn't bode well. You know, I think he has some timing issues. I think he has some mechanic issues. And if you can't fix it, you're right. He's probably not going to bring you along enough offensively to be able to be a threat for the Super Bowl to kind of take this team where I think everybody wants it to go. And so unless Nick Sirianni and that coaching staff has the answers to fix some of these issues, which I would imagine they would have been working on throughout the season. It's just tough to see Jalen Hurts being the guy to that has the ability to take this team where we all want it to go.
All right. Well, they've got to figure something out because either he's going to be the starter next year or they have to go elsewhere. What do you think? Do you think this game has influenced them enough to be on the over 50% side of changing it up?
You know, I think if I was Howie Roseman and that staff, I probably was looking almost all season long. And this is just my thought process on Jalen Hurts, right? I think Jalen Hurts is safe. He's a safe pick. He's like if you talk about the financial world, he's a bond. He's not a stop. He's a bond. He's going to be steady. He's not going to give you those low lows. He's not going to give you those high highs. But he's going to give you that mediocre, that steady course, stay the course type of play. I think what the Eagles probably want is someone that's like a high-flying a tech stop, right? That's going to be a high flyer. That's going to give you the high high, that strong arm, that athletic build. That's what they had in Carson Wentz, a guy that's going to give you the ability to throw the ball down the field and things like that. And I think that's what the Eagles want. That's how they perceive their team is going to be able to get to the Super Bowl. And so because of that, I think they look at this game and they say, okay, well, we saw some issues throughout the season. We were able to overcome some of those things because of our run game. But now in the most important game of the season, the playoffs, playing against a better football team, we need our quarterback to step up to the plate. And unfortunately, he didn't have a very good game. And because of that, I think they begin the process of, well, continue the process of looking around for a replacement.
Interesting. Now, you also had something really interesting on your Twitter, and I don't know if it was just a tongue-in-cheek comment, but you said, if he's much better off going to his right, then why don't you just line up Devontae Smith on the right all the time?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, well, I mean, I feel that way. There was two things that I think is true. First of all, you got to target Devontae Smith early and often. I'm thinking back to plays when, we would go through the first 15 plays with Andy Reid the night before the game. And I remember sitting in those meetings and T.O. counting how many plays, how many times the ball was going to him. If there was anything less than 8 opportunities for the ball to get to his hands in that first 15 plays, he's raising his hands in the back of the doggone room like, hold on, coach, we can't start the game this way. And so I'm also thinking back to the last game of the season where we were trying to get Devontae Smith a record, right, trying to break Deshaun Jackson's record. We were throwing him the ball all the time. We have to get our playmakers involved in the game early on. And if Devontae Smith it feels okay lining up on the right, that's perfect. But Jalen Hurts, we know, likes to throw the ball to the right. So that's exactly where I want Devontae Smith out because he's a game breaker. He's our best wide receiver. And if that's where he's going to be at, if that's where we want to throw the ball, that's where Devontae Smith should be at all the time.
It seems very logical. What sometimes logic escapes Eagle coaches, which leads me to the defensive coordinator. And we talked about having to show different looks. I mean, you do something different. You got housed by Brady the first time. And they didn't do anything different.
Yeah. There were two keys to victory on the defensive side of the ball. Get Tom Brady off that spot. And the only way to do that is to bring your defenders up, which they did in situations, and not allow him to have some of those quick throws. The problem with that is that sometimes when you bring defenders up to take away the quick throws, you're giving up something on the back end. Usually you're giving up a big play on the back end. And yesterday, we didn't get nearly enough pressure on Tom Brady. I'm sorry, not yesterday, Sunday. we didn't get nearly enough pressure on Tom Brady, and we didn't take away those quicker throws for that offense. And because of that, they just marched the ball down the field. They ran the ball a couple of times, threw 5-yard patterns, and ran the ball a couple of times. Go, you know, 2nd and 7, they get a first down. And so, because of those things, and we didn't change things up. And I'll tell you this, Mike. I know everybody wants us to blitz. I don't know that blitzing would have been the answer either, to be honest with you. Because Tom Brady gets the ball out so quickly. He understands defenses so well. It's obvious when you go back and watch the tape that Tom Brady had a great idea of exactly what the defense was going to be doing every single play. And he got the ball to the right guy for the most part every single play.
All right, last thing, and I just got to hit on this slightly, because if you follow Brian Westbrook's selections last week, you made money. I would have never figured he would put together a 5-1 playoff weekend, but he did. And he's now, and you know what? And I got to call myself out, because I'm a stone idiot going against the Bills and thinking the Steelers could cover. So I deserve everything I got this weekend as you go 5-1 and take the lead in our contest by a half a game.
Things went very well. I'm glad the weekend went the way it did. I got another big weekend coming up this weekend, so I'm looking forward to that.
Yeah. All right. have a great rest of the day. We'll talk to you.
That's
Brian Westbrook.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.